Coming to you from the middle of Cane's country, you're listening to the number one rated football podcast in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, la.
These are the Orange Bowl Boys.
Brought to you by Ed Morse. Join the 1.75 million people that have been backed by Morse. With the Price Protection Promise, Ed Morse will match any competitor's price or refund you up to $7,500.
Here's Toast, Roman, and Scoop.
Oh, yeah. Feels good to be back, boys and girls. Welcome to the Orange Bowl, boys. This is Season 4, Episode 1, Uno!
Surprise!
I have Toast, as always, got my boys, Roman and Scoop. Both of them decked out in their beautiful, wonderfully fitting Buck Fama shirts, mine draped above my head, on sale right now by going to our Twitter page, Orange Bowl Boys.
Buck pinned Fama. At the top. Pinned tweet.
Pinned tweet.
Go to the top, get your Buck Fama shirts. Look, they can be, you can choose colors too. I mean, we all have the vintage green. I'm going to tell you, so we didn't know how it was going to turn out as far as quality or the type of shirt, anything like that. So we got some samples here. We got the classic T-shirts, not the tri-blend. I love tri-blend. But we got the classic. It's like a tri-blend. It's soft. It's light. It's awesome, honestly. So I don't even know why I'd buy a tri-blend. This thing is dope. Fits great. Says Buck Fama on it. Come on, let's go. We've sold a bunch. Let's keep it rolling. I need to see Buck Fama t-shirts in the stadium in
a
month.
That's what I'm saying. If you're right, going up, then you've got to buy one.
Send us pictures. Look, yeah. If you get it and you put it on, send us a picture. Tweet it at us. We'll retweet it. Make sure that we get this thing out there. It's brilliant. You can get it in black. I saw somebody get it in black.
And when you buy it, dude, the things ship out within like 36 hours.
No, it's really fast.
Really fast.
They just do one-offs. It's amazing. I'm not sure how they do this, but it's pretty cool.
You know, I'm just thinking we changed our catalog system. So we are now season 4 episode 1. Congratulations on season 4. Here we go.
Right?
Camp starting today, right? It's starting today. And I'm thinking about our collective OBB Patreon family losing their mind.
They're
right
all pissed
now
off.
Because it's change. And people hate change.
I love change. I'd change every damn episode if we could.
We have a grievance section, and I'm sure I know these boys. The grievance section is going to go bonkers, but we always have room for some more family. Join us at OBB Patreon. We would love to have you. We keep it. It's constant. It's 365, 24/7. There's always something going on in the multiple channels. Honestly, I've been associated with like Twitter for a long time. We've been part of message boards. This one is the most user-friendly because there's so many different topics that are constantly going off. The gaming section, which you're a big part of, Toast. I've been jumping in there. You know, Scoop's got golf. I got fishing. And it's just nice. It's just nice to have those kind of forums. Those guys help me out on a daily basis. I can't say enough about it. I appreciate it. I appreciate the family. I do.
You can sign up for that by going to patreon.com/orangebowlboys. And Club OBB is $5 a month. That's it. All right, so before we get into camp and everything.
Anybody think that we weren't coming back? Anybody out there?
Oh, they're
anybody hope we didn't come back?
Do we need to pour out? Do we need to pour out some liquor for the homies?
Sorry, boys.
Before we get into all that stuff, we need to – one of us has been a busy little beaver the last couple of weeks, signing contracts and whatnot. Scoop, what the fuck you been doing?
Oh, yeah. Well,
dropping brand
stuff.
Ambassadors and shit. Like, oh,
yes,
dude.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes, I knew we were going to talk about this.
Yeah, we are.
The OBB went out, and we got two brand ambassadors.
And just, it's not OBB. Scoop went out. Scoop went down to the Hex Center with a bunch of money and made it rain.
Yep.
So, as brand ambassadors for the 2021 season, we got two dudes, right, who are starting camp today, totally stoked. One of them, Ro gave a big shout-out today on Twitter when he was doing his X's and Ro's, right? Mr. XXR7 Xavier Restrepo. Kiki Paso.
Right? Yeah, baby.
Is our number one brand ambassador.
OBB Uno. Alum. OBB Uno. Alum.
OBB alum. Ha! You know what's funny? They're both OBB alums.
Yes, they are.
Didn't realize that until afterwards, right? So his second one and his roommate, which makes it very cool because we're going to do all kinds. They were doing all kinds of stuff with these dudes. Mr. TVD Tyler Van Dyke. Kiki Paso. The two of them, one and two, two and one. I'm stoked, man. They've been so cool about doing everything, doing all the social stuff. We sent him a bunch of gear. I think he's picking it up tomorrow. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you guys haven't seen us announce it, go follow them on Twitter, on IG, and all that stuff. And it'll be a coordinated effort between ourselves and our other show, Benched, right? They're going to be involved as well. So it's going to be a big OBB media conglomerate collaboration. Really, really excited, man. For me, it's damn cool. Like, I had a lot of fun putting it together. I've had a lot of fun, you know, doing all the artwork and all that stuff. And it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Got to thank props to their management and their whole team for being so easy to work with.
Absolutely. First round management, obviously, Mr. Peter Ariz. You know, I've known that dude for, I don't know, Rowan, I've known
Untamed
him for,
Kane.
Yeah, Untamed Kane. Countless years. and it was funny because we had the deal together and then they signed him also. So I hit up Pete and I was like, cool, I got to go through you now? Fuck. All right, fine. You know? So, no, it's been great, though. I mean, it's great. You know, he gets us through compliance, you know, all that stuff. So Pete's the man. We're excited. Very excited to be working with him.
And as always, we have to thank Teddy Morse.
Yes, we do.
Morse. No.
100%. Oh, no, he's going to do
it. If you're going to do it, you got to do it.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's Teddy fucking Morse. Yeah. It's always Teddy fucking Morse. Okay? And when we get him on the show here next time, he will introduce himself as Teddy fucking Morse.
52-10. Our title sponsor and been part, and they re-upped again. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we got to get him on before the Bama game. Like, for that Bama preview game, we got to get Teddy fucking Morse.
He's got a Buck Fama shirt.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So he wears it at the dealership.
Yeah, of course.
Ed Morse strolls through the dealership with that McGregor walk with the Buck Fama shirt on. It's 100%. Fucking awesome. Yeah. 100%. Just selling cars, selling caddies. So, Green Tree, it's busy, baby. It's busy tonight. Camp opens up. It's all different because now there will be media on site, unlike last year when everything was pretty much closed because of the pandemic. Media will be out there, so we'll be getting better coverage of that in terms of cell phone video of plays and whatnot. The press conferences will no longer be Zoom press conferences. They will be live and in person, so that'll be a little bit different. But yeah, so how optimistic are you guys? Because I'm feeling myself falling into the trap again, dude, where I'm feeling optimistic. Oh, shit, here we go again.
Look, here we always go. I mean, there's not a single year that we go into the season and we're pessimistic. Here's the big picture. This Miami Hurricanes football team is really good. They're a really good team. I do believe that. Are they a national championship team? Probably not. They're a really good team. In two areas, I think there's a massive improvement. Number one, offensive line. And Rowan and I have said this for, I don't know, 5 years. So eventually we have to be correct.
Right.
Right? Eventually we'll get it right.
Right.
The most seasoned offensive line that this team has seen in decades. Mm-hmm. And one of the most seasoned in the country. Not just the ACC, the country, as far as number of starts. I think that's a massive improvement. And then, secondly, I think this wide receiver core is going to be much, much better. Bro.
You know, it's going to be better, and I'm going to piggyback off you. It's going to be better because it's going to be addition by subtraction.
Yep.
And I, you know, not because it's a shameless plug. And somebody asked me today, I did my X's and Row series. You can catch that on YouTube. That's also going to be linked to our OBB account. And did my piece for State of the U. And somebody asked, they're like, you know, who's going to be the X kind of receiver? And I'm like, I'm glad you mentioned that because my X, you know, factor, you know, better said, was going to be Xavier Restrepo. I think it's his time. I don't think you're going to be able to keep this guy off the field. Every time he's in there, he's making plays. Every single time. And what's even more impressive about that, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Any time you see a quarterback that's associated, it doesn't matter if it's Garcia, TBD, it doesn't matter if it's De'Aaron King. It does not matter. You can bring back Jake Heap. Get Malik back here. They'll have a great rapport with this dude. He's going to get open in a phone booth. So, yeah, Scoop, kind of piggyback on what you say, I think the wide receiver group is going to be improved because of addition by subtraction.
All right, so let me ask you this. The biggest position concern, and I think it's – I'm guessing we're going to be unanimous on this, but the linebacker position, right? That's correct. The biggest question mark we have. We got a new coach. We know we have some talent there. We got some young talent with Brooks and with Flag. And can it all come together this quickly? New coach, young kids. What are we looking at? What do you think?
Well, there's an interesting caveat here because prior to it, because we listen, the two linebackers that were there last year primarily, we're not going to necessarily call them out right now, but they're either going to get a little bit shifted on the depth chart, not in their favor, or they've moved to a different position. All right, with that being said, you got to remember, Keontre Smith is now listed as a will backer. He's not a striker anymore. So they already started to do the prerogative of, all right, we probably have some better options if we just go ahead and kind of shift things down, right? If we kind of shift things over. I think Corey Flagg is the heir apparent at the Mike linebacker position. So just like we just talked about the wide receiver position, it's addition by subtraction. I mean, you turn around and you get Corey Flagg more snaps, and you turn around and tell me that you got Mr. Smith at the will linebacker position, and you basically have Gil back at his natural striker position, which Gil played okay at striker last year. When you're talking about linebackers, we have this propensity to be inclusive with them as a striker, and sometimes then they're exclusive by themselves because they have their own coach. But the reality is, if you want to say that they're the same, you have two new linebackers. You're going to have three new linebackers this year. So again, addition by subtraction.
It's a tough spot. I don't want to all three agree on this, but it's a tough spot. I mean, there's no superstars there. There's no standouts there. And I mean, look, there's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of players there. Let's put it that way. Think of all the guys that are there. You've got Brooks. Now you've got Keontre Smith on the way down. You've got Flagg. You've got Austin Cave. You've got Huff. You've got Steed, right? You've got a lot of dudes there. The question is, who's really going to stand out and play? And if we do have one or two really, really standout guys, if they go down, are our backups any good?
Yeah.
And I think it's not necessarily the top tier. I think it's the depth there that's really – it's a huge concern. So, you know, who can – look – Manny will try to design and scheme to help them out the best he can with his safeties coming down a bit and that striker position, but they're still going to be on an island in space at times, and that's probably the most concerning part.
Nothing you can do.
They got to play it. I mean, can Huff play? I mean, they say Brooks and Huff are the fast linebackers on the team, right? I don't know. I simply don't know. You haven't seen them enough. We're not down there. It's just a lot of unknown at that position. I think that's what's kind of freaking everybody out.
You got a wild card too. I'm sorry, Toast, but you got a wild card too because you got the number one safety in the country coming in. But he's got that frame. You could do multiple things. But listen, he's not going to play linebacker. He's not going to be Mike linebacker. He's not going to be Corey Flagg's replacement. But you could get him down into the box sometimes. You could go ahead and get him creative. You could go ahead and have two strikers on the field. He could be considered one of the strikers. You have some options because being a free-range safety at his size was the only thing that people had some questions and concerns because he just might limit out because of his size. And we're talking about James Williams. But there's an ability there to go ahead and sub somebody out and put him in because that's what Manny has to do. He's got to get his best players on the field, bar none. That's if he takes care of that aspect and avenue and learns to do it quicker, right? We can't have that Greg Tober thing every year. He's got to get these kids on the field who can play and ball out quicker on the field, even if it's going to be in a unique capacity.
This is the deepest team in well over a decade, just the entire roster. When it comes to optimism, how much of your optimism, like mine, is tied to how much for the first time in over a decade, bro, the amount of confidence I have in the guy that is under center and just his decision-making process and just the fact that he's a leader. Like, we haven't – like, I'm putting so much of my optimism is directly tied to the fact that he is our starting quarterback. Because, you know, I just see all the intangibles that he brings that we haven't had from a starting quarterback since Dorsey.
I'll take it a step further. And my confidence goes down two more levels. Because I think, obviously, the King's the guy, right? I mean, he's shown to be one of the top leaders in the country, you know, a top 5 or 10 quarterback in the country, you know, when it's coming to throwing and running and, you know, the total package, right? But your 1A, 1B, 1C, or 2A and 2B with TVD and now Jake Garcia, that room, top to bottom, has so much, I wouldn't say potential, but true acumen for that position in this offense. It's not complicated. We've said it many, many times. This offense is not hard to learn. It's not complicated. So TVD's not been here. It'll be his second year, right? Mm-hmm. Got a full spring. Mm-hmm. He and Jake both got a full spring, which they didn't have last year in Rhett's first year. And every place that Lashley's been, his second year has been lights out, right? That's second year install for these guys. So it's more than just, I agree with you. I mean, it's great to have De'Aaron King back. It's great to have him for another year. But to have two guys behind him that I think are 1,000% capable of running a productive offense if King isn't ready or gets hurt or whatever the situation may be, that's the confidence for me. Because I know if De'Aaron goes down, well, here we go. Right, you got whoever is your backup.
We got a brand ambassador stepping in.
That's right. See that?
My confidence level is, I'm just gauging the room, is not as high as you guys. And it's simply for the fact because, you know, there's a big ominous shadow over the green tree right now, and it's not that beautiful Carol Soffer indoor practice facility. It's just Alabama is week one, right? And it's humble pie. And my thing is I don't want that game to beat the University of Miami twice because I'm anticipating a loss, right? And I don't want that to just, like, wreck their spirits the whole rest of the year. They need to have a Texas A&M season if they, you know, and what I meant from a year ago, Texas A&M didn't really have a good performance against Alabama. I mean, they got spanked. But you know what? That was the only loss that they had. And if that's going to be your ceiling, then let that be your ceiling. Now, I'm predicting a couple more losses along the way, but you can't have a situation where the University of Miami is plagued by its routine. It gets in its own way. It steps on its own dick, right? And the thing is, they're going to lose to Bama, and that's my biggest fear, and then, like, the wheels fall off. Just get the mental fortitude at some point in this program so you can step over things. Like, look, they're the national champions. Let's get better. Let's just finally start beating everybody else on the table, and let's just go. Let's make it a run.
That's on the head coach.
I think, yeah, yes.
The head coach's job.
But, man, I get so much flack for this, but I couldn't care less. The reality is that you can't put everything you've got into beating Bama.
Right.
And it's just what Rose says. Because if you do, if you lose, which is a higher probability than not losing, right? Then you're just gutted. And you don't have what you need to go out and play the next week against an App State team pretty damn good.
Yep.
Right? So understand who you're playing. These coaches can't tell these kids, I get it. Have hope. Have some determination. But it's not a win or die scenario. If you win, great. If you lose, everyone expected you to lose. It's okay. Go out and win the next 11.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. How do you respond?
It should be two separate seasons.
Yeah.
Don't let it beat you twice.
That's it.
That's all I ask.
All right, so let me ask you this.
It's on the coaches not to let these kids
just
get gutted because they lost to Alabama.
Well, so let me ask you this. Has Manny learned enough through his first 2 years, whether it's, you know, coming out of byes and being flat or big games being flat, has he learned enough in those situations to know that whatever happens against Alabama, he will have this team 100% ready to kick App State's ass the following week? Has he gotten there?
If he tells him what I just said, sure.
Man, it's not hard. And listen, Manny Diaz has been the defensive coordinator against Alabama. He was in their conference, right? This isn't new for him going up against Nick Saban. Now, the offense that he's going up against potentially, you know, is going to have some wrinkles he probably hasn't seen before. That's what Alabama's really good and, you know, astute to do. But Manny Diaz is more than capable as a defensive coordinator. Now, as a head coach, you brought up the interesting question. We're going to see. We're going to see how much he – because –
This is a huge year for him.
Yes, he has to grow as a head coach. I'm more confident on the defensive coordinator side, and I've seen a lot of naysayers to that, like they don't have faith in him as a defensive coordinator. And I'm like, last time I saw him as a defensive coordinator with Jess Simpson as defensive line coach, they performed pretty well, and we had a lot more question marks going into that season, right, than we did this season. Okay, it basically came down. We had a human wrecking ball at the middle, and Gerald Willis. And he kind of changed something. So you could have somebody like that, University of Miami, just emerge this year. And it can totally change. What I'm saying is, to the original point, I have much bigger faith in Manny as a defensive coordinator. As head coach, he needs to grow up. He needs to show me some things. He always makes those perfect offseason moves. But it's paper champions, right? We gotta stop being paper champions, and we got to put it on the field. We got to win some big games this year. We do.
But if his defense is the defense that I personally expect it to be, because it's him, number one, and you got a lot of returners, and you have a tier one first round talent at corner on one side, and you haven't had that. Let's be honest. A top level guy in Tyrique Stevenson gives you a massive advantage. Bubba Bolden's back. The defensive secondary is going to be very, very good.
If we talk about Bubba Bolden, which Bubba Bolden? Because that's key.
Well, it's the first half. It's the prior to Clemson, right? Bubba Bolden.
Hopefully. All right, go ahead.
So the question. So my thing is, I think he gets better as a head coach by default, because I think his defense is going to be the defense of old.
Okay.
And it's going to make him look better as a head coach. Look, it's hard to look good as a head coach when your defense sucks, like they did last year. Let's be honest, right? I mean, they were – I mean, I think I looked it up. They gave up like 27 a game. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
27 a game? Like, that's ridiculous, right? Now, obviously, there's a couple of skews in there, but the reality is it all averages out. So I want to go back to Roe. You said something. You had Jared Willis. He was a wrecking ball. With Jess Simpson – can Nesta be that guy?
You know, I want to default to one of my boys, Gio, wrote at Kane's Insight with him. He always said, if the guy hasn't clicked on by sophomore year, you can basically write him off. And there's a lot of truth to that, right? When they haven't really, the lights haven't really stayed on past the sophomore year, when do you see a guy? I mean, we could think of a couple guys on this lineup right off the top of their head, like, when's this guy going to take a step? And Nesta, unfortunately, he's in that realm. Statistically, I would say no. But if there's anybody who has the opportunity to bring it out of the young man, I think it's going to be Jess Simpson.
I think he's a huge cog in this.
Yeah.
I think Nesta and how he plays under Simpson is going to be a massive tell for how well this defensive plays.
He can coach now. He can coach now. Everybody knows I'm on that hire Kevin Patrick train. But when Kevin's not here and they tell me they went back and they got Jess Simpson, I'm immediately sleeping on my pillow much more sounder at night, knowing he's the defensive line coach. And I'm being dead serious. He can coach.
I had a moment last week.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, boy.
Where I thought that maybe I went into a wormhole or some sort of a time warp. Because I get the email alerts when the headlines from both the Sun Sentinel and the Miami Herald, the little email headlines will come through my, you know, so I see little headlines from, and the Herald sent out a headline And I had to stop what I was doing. And I had to pause because I was like, what reality am I in? When the headline said, could this be the greatest cornerback class in the program's history that they're recruiting right now? And I said, wait, hold on a fucking second. Wait, hold on. How? Wait, where? What? Where am I?
you are in the middle of it.
Ground zero.
Right?
Bro.
Epicenter. Ground zero. Epicenter. Ground zero. Epicenter of the. You gotta fire that guy. He's killing you. The was here. We said it for years. This is season four. We said it season one.
Yeah.
It finally happened. And look what happened. Look what happened. You turned around and you got. DeMarcus, my goodness, right? I think the most perfect setup for DeMarcus Van Dyke is the fact, you know, TVD's brother from another mother. But the biggest, I mean, the fact that he can go next to T-Rob, because they said he could recruit. He just didn't have that prowess of being able to say, I've gotten it done at this level. But right. You can see that he has the upstart. You can see that he has the chops. So the partnership of that, that's like Batman and Robin, man.
It really is.
And they are killing it. You turn around, you get a five-star cornerback from Ohio State to decommit, and now he's flirting with Miami.
Jacksonville, no less. Jacksonville players.
Just the fact that you got him to decommit from Ohio State, and he's a five-star, and he's looking at that. That's good for Manny because he nailed that higher. My only suggestion, do that on linebacker next time. Do that too. I promise you, things are going to be a lot easier.
Let's put this into perspective, though. Even without Singletary, and there's 50-50 shot with him probably. Without Singletary, first year as corners coach and T-Rob, they've got three of the top 11 in the country.
Yes.
Yeah. Committed to them right now. Three of the top 11 in the country. We haven't had a top 11 corner committed here in 24 years.
Which I said, this is the University of Miami. It shouldn't be that hard with this style of system to get good corners. Like, there's no way. There's no way. They're proving it. Yeah.
I think two of them are. One's from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. One's from Alabama.
Kamari Rogers is from
Mississippi? Oh, no. Graves is from here, too. No, they got the kid from Alabama, though.
Yeah.
Right? He's like a top five corner in the country.
Yeah, Kamari's from Mississippi.
Right.
Yeah.
So Graves is the only one from Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Reach.
Yeah. It's crazy. It really is. I mean, think about that.
Mm-hmm. It's all about relationships.
How can it be? It can't be that vastly different.
Apparently it is. It was a light switch. For you to be able to get
nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
You had them growing on trees down here, and you can't get one.
It's the same team.
No kidding. Same head coach.
From the high school you used to be the head coach of.
Yeah, I've always said.
It's a weird experience.
It should have never been. That individual should have never been hired. And I always said this because, down here, our ears are close to the ground, high school, they didn't have a good relationship. It was fractionalized without Golden. It's not like he provided anybody to the University of Miami. Next thing you know, you're poisoning the well just to go ahead and feed them a bottle from that well and say, come to Miami. So I never liked it from the jump. I always said it was a bad hire. And, and that's the thing, because when you make decisions like that, I just love this adage, but it's like the sins of the father carry over from generation to generation. That mistake cost you how many classes of good cornerbacks?
Yeah.
Now I got to listen to asshole Florida fans basically say, we're DBU. You were DBU because we were absent. We weren't even getting anybody. We're giving them to you. Like willy-nilly. We couldn't recruit them if we tried. We could have took him to Edge's strip club with a fistful of hundreds. Yes, I was. Because we could have took him to Edge's strip club with a fistful of hundreds. And of all three of us, I'm the most apt to resuscitate somebody, and it's me going down. So I'm screwed.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'll hold my own neck or something.
How much I can do for you through the microphone?
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, but yeah, I'm glad the proof was in the pudding. Listen to your Orange Bowl boys. We your boys. We tried to tell you years ago. You finally wised up, Manny. I know you listen to us when you go on your long runs. Just fix that linebacker spot now, too. Start recruiting better on that side, too, because you're going to need it.
So we're going to start dropping episodes now every single week. We've also got something cool that we're working on, another piece of our puzzle that we'll It's not ready to go live yet, so we won't talk about it, but something else that we're working on that'll be cool. But let me ask you guys this. We got Bama coming up in 4 weeks. Training camp opens today at 6 o'clock. Any name that no one's been mentioning that you think we're going to be talking about in 2 weeks? Like, dude, this kid's having an insane camp. Like, we didn't see this come, but this kid, is it going to be a certain – or will it be a position group? 2 weeks from now, we will be saying, bro, the linebackers are getting rave reviews.
You know
– what's going to be the surprise?
I got one.
I got one, too. But it's not a surprise, but it kind of is.
Okay.
Go ahead, Scoop.
So I got one, and it's coming off the fact that Amari Carter's who's gone? Avante Williams is gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? I think this camp is going to be huge for Mr. Kitchens.
Oh, yeah.
True freshman. The boy is a natural safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's going to be a lot of talk about him in camp. Now, is that going to play over into the regular season when the lights are on and it's a little bit different, right? Is it going to be is it going to be too big for him? Who knows? But I think Kitchens is going to have his name mentioned an awful lot in the next 4 weeks.
For me, it comes off a question that I posed earlier today from the chat group. But they were like, if you could supplant a person off the Alabama roster and you turn around and just a wholesale trade, just one for one. And the fact that I couldn't take Evan Neal wholesale outright. Evan Neal is your stud left tackle. He's probably going to go first round for Alabama. But we had bigger needs because that's my guy. Because when you have Zion Nelson 3 years later, where I have a first round pick for Alabama that I could put on my team for you, but I can't do it because you've improved that much, I got to sing your praise again. I got to sing your praise again because I think we're solidified at that left tackle position. I think that's going to be huge for the offense. Keeping and staying along the lines of the offensive line, 55. 55 is healthy. 55 is ready to go. He's a difference maker. He's a people mover.
Dude, that left side is dirty.
And that left side, I'm telling you right now, if he can go ahead and do what I think he can, right? I think he's going to regain his form. I think coming off the injury having this year, he's going to make a lot of money come Alabama because he's going to open up some holes. Because
right, well, that let me is a
big man. Big
You're
man.
Talking about the holes that are being opened. We all have been in love with the top three guys in the running back room. Once again, another offseason where Chaney Jr. is nursing back from an injury. But does any one of them become running back one, or will this be a tri-headed monster the entire season?
There's an issue.
It's three all year.
Because you know that Lashley
said the comment.
He likes to have, you know, that one bell cow.
But I want to go ahead and I want to play with numbers.
Okay.
Miami routinely runs about 64 plays a game. That's what they run, right? Sometimes they can get into the 70 range. So we'll just say, okay, they run 70 plays a game. 30 of them are passes, right? That's fair. You know, a quarterback throwing 30 times a game. You're running 40 times. No matter what you try to tell me, Rhett Lashley, in an average setup, you're running 64 plays a game, a sweet Nintendo 64. No matter how you try to play this out for me, there's no way you're giving a back 30 to 40 carries. That bell cow is going to get 20, right? Mm-hmm. That bell cow is going to get 20. The other guys are going to split the other 20. So by numbers, I'm going to have to call them out at that. At first, it sounded great. I wanted to buy into that. You just run so many damn plays, you can't have a bell cow in this offense.
So who's going to be the 20 guy?
Jalen Knighton.
Really? Okay.
Well, if Chaney's not hurt, and see, to me, if Chaney's not hurt coming into this, it's Don Chaney, hands down. It's not even a debate for me. But because Chaney's coming off that injury, there's a big difference of coming in for me, Toast, and being the bell cow back ready and being the spell guy ready. I think Don Chaney could be the spell guy ready. I don't think he's ready to come back and just tote the load for 20, 30 carries.
Do you think won't be as good as Knighton?
I completely disagree with that.
All right, well, I don't know if he's going to be ready. I'm just telling you right now, Jalen Knighton, another year in the system. They can go ahead and do it. He's the more home run threat back. Yeah, I like the guy. I do.
Okay. Look, Chaney's the best all-around back on the team. We know
that. And I said that. Yes.
Yeah. We know that. We've said that for however long. That's fine. But he's not entirely healthy. And what that allows for is you're looking for a guy to carry it 20 times a game in college, right? Dudes are bigger. Mm-hmm. He's in high school. Yeah, Cam Harris is that guy. I mean, Cam Harris is going to have the 20 carries a game. Jalen Knighton's not carrying it 20 times a game. They're going to split him out. They're going to do some different stuff with
Jalen Knighton.
They're gonna,
up this weight. He's up over 200 pounds.
It's fine.
At least from reports.
Cam Harris
is going to
be the guy. He
understands. He's got the opportunity to do this. And Cam Harris was the guy last year. He was the guy last year. And here's the thing for me with Cam Harris. He's in that Mark Pope and D. Wiggins class. You had your opportunities, boys. You had it. You didn't get it done. You couldn't hold and grasp and jettison into that next stratosphere as a Miami Hurricane great. You were mediocre at best. So now that's why
they
I'm going to favor these young guys.
At best. They were running back position last year.
Jalen didn't get the carries and the touches necessary to go ahead and have enough sample size for me where I could sit there and say, you know what? Yeah, let's write him off. No, I can't.
I'm not writing anybody off.
COVID, kind of a weird season for him. Doesn't really get a good camp. I'm just saying, I think for me, Jalen's going to be the guy. And simply off the fact, I've seen enough work of Cam Harris to sit there and tell you that I don't think he's going to get it done. I hope he does. I hope he does.
Cam Harris is the guy who gets 20 until Chaney
is can take it from him.
Spot.
Okay,
and it won't begin. Look, even if healthy, I don't think Chaney's taken. Cam Harris has taken the first snap against Bama. 1,000%. Even if he gets 5 touches a game, even if he gets 5 touches in the Bama game, mm-hmm. Cam Harris has taken the first snap against Bama.
But that's the part going back to what we said. Why is Manny still pulling this stuff?
I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. You can't tell me that he's not going to get the first touch.
Here's a Bama, our first Bama question for you. What if scenario? What happens more often during the Bama game? Jalen Knighton takes a handoff or Lou Headley punts a 50-yarder?
Jalen Knighton getting a handoff. But that is a funny
question. We
have
the best special teams in the conference, right?
Well, it's all going to come down to the...
I'm thinking hard about that.
Freshman... Yeah, it comes down to the freshman hard
about that. Man, I meant it as a joke, but yeah, it's, you know, yeah.
That could be a push.
It could be a push.
Headley could have...
He could have 6 or 7
six
kicks.
Or
yeah,
seven
he
50
could.
Yarders.
He could. Yeah.
And Jalen could touch it 6 or 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting question. That's a good one. Uh-huh. That's a good one. Look.
Not for me.
All right. I'd love to see Rooster go up. I don't think Rooster's gonna swell that kid up, bro.
Gonna be fast.
We'll see.
Still fast.
So, all right,
you're going to ask that question. Before we leave the green tree, there's something kind of green tree related. Yeah. It's kind of an elephant in a room. Waves all across the country. SEC became even more prominent when they added the Red
Oklahoma,
River
Texas.
Rivalry, Oklahoma, Texas. So I don't know how that conference realignment. Mm-hmm. So, and I know he's not the biggest fan in the show. He's kind of, you know, promised some things and never delivered on his part. He's actually been a part of the show, an OBB alumni and the athletic director, Blake James. Mm-hmm. Boys, if he ends up having the Miami Hurricanes on the outside in, looking in terms of conference realignment and some of these super conferences, it's happening. It's happening. There's nothing you could do. It's going to be super conference and bust. Big 12, I don't see them in moving forward in the same realm that they are.
Oh, no.
I think they're going to lose.
There'll be a merger.
They're what the Big East was once Miami left it. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened. Mm-hmm. You lost your two prominent members. They still have that Fox deal. Fox has got to be upset about this. So there's going to be some kind of mergers and everything like this. All I know is if the ACC fails to do what it does, if it loses a couple members and Miami is in a mediocre conference, Blake James, you're a failure.
Well, here's the first thing I'll tell you. First thing I'll say
is
that...
Where are they going to go?
So, exactly. First of all, I don't know where they're going to go because when you look at the proposed SEC mega conference that could turn into 20 teams, not a single one of the teams they've mentioned is a small private school. They're all
they got
state
Vanderbilt.
Public. That's a public university.
No, Vanderbilt's not. Vanderbilt's private.
Are you sure it's private?
Pretty sure Vanderbilt's private.
Yeah, it's a private school.
A lot bigger than Miami.
But they've been there.
Yeah.
They've been there. It's not like they're going to go out and get a private... Where are they
going
to go?
Listen, Miami's not getting an invitation.
People say they're
going
to go to the Big Ten? What, are you kidding me?
I'll tell you this right now, because another story came out. Because the rumor was they were talking about taking Clemson and FSU from the ACC. That's not going to happen. The SEC, the stories already came out. Clemson and FSU don't move the needle like Texas and Oklahoma do. Okay, they were talking about the fact of streaming, how these teams do in streaming. And Clemson and FSU do shit streaming numbers. And you want to know why? Because Clemson's not a traditional power. When I was growing up, Clemson was a whatever. Hey, I mean, when you talk about the great college football rivalries, Ohio State, Michigan, Texas, Oklahoma, who's Clemson with?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. What, Clemson, South Carolina?
Nobody.
Like,
nobody.
The minute Dabo leaves, that thing can come crumbling down. They don't have 50, 70, 80, 100 years of proud football tradition. And with all due respect, FSU fans don't show up like that. They may have a bigger fan base than Clemson, but their fans don't show up in terms of television viewing numbers. Okay? Miami moves the needle more than that. So those two teams are not going to get invites to the SEC. They're just not.
Now, I'll say this. I say a more if the SEC was smart or they were forward thinking,
they get Notre Dame.
Oh God. I want nothing for Notre Dame, okay?
So I think the ACC needs to honestly make them a permanent member for football, and then you turn around and then that's your – like, I – Scoop, and I'll say it real quick, and I'm going to let you go. But listen, if you could turn around and grab ND and you maybe get somebody else, I'm not saying you got to be the best super conference. That's going to be the SEC. Nothing changes. The ACC is like the third best conference in the land now. Now that the Big 12 has folded, I would say that. So it's probably, you know, the SEC, the Big 10, the ACC. When it's the super conference thing that happens, I'm okay being second or third again. But you can't be the modern day UCF, right? You can't be the post-apocalyptic UCF. That's what Blake James must avoid at all costs. Scoopy?
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. I was just thinking, if I were the SEC and I wanted to add two more teams, and it goes back to what you said, traditional powers, right? Rivalry matchups, like true college football. I'd take Miami and FSU.
I'd take Miami and Virginia Tech.
And not Clemson.
And they don't have a Virginia school. They don't.
No.
You know, and that's a Virginia Tech SEC, that's actually interesting.
Interesting. But I'm just saying, like you said, right?
The SEC is not done.
Michigan or Ohio State, Michigan.
Well, here's the thing.
The SEC is not done. They're not done.
No, they're not. Listen, they're not done. They're the 800-pound gorilla. But I'm not sure. I mean, listen, dude, if they're going to go to a 20-team mega conference, that's why they need to have the 12-team playoff, because you need to have at least six SEC teams that are able to get into that thing. That's why they want to expand to 12.
That's happening.
Because if you have 20 teams,
kidding.
You can't just have, right.
That is happening,
though,
too.
Here's my thing. Is it in the financial best interest of Ohio State and Michigan to go to a conference that already has Alabama, LSU, Georgia, where you could legitimately always be third or fourth in your division?
Well,
like, I mean, right now, Ohio State owns their conference.
Well, see,
why
that's
would you
the thing.
Go to a conference where now you could legit finish third or fourth every
that's
year.
That's why I don't understand Texas and Oklahoma.
Thank you.
There
thank you, because
oh, Texas is going to get destroyed.
It doesn't
every
make
year.
Any sense.
Oh,
why would you
God.
Do that?
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about that, but why the fuck would either one of those go to the SEC?
See, the Florida State thing makes sense if you're going to go in there, because now you're going to be fourth or fifth every year in your conference, whatever. You're going to be on the east side getting pounded by Georgia and Florida every year for years to come. Tennessee, you're not going to, you know, your chances of winning a national championship, but Florida State makes sense because you're dead broke as a program.
Right.
You know, I got friends that coach there. Trust me, I know your money problems. You can try to hide it as much as you want.
You got girls doing lemonade stands.
Oh my goodness! They like promise coaches this, and then they're like,
"Willie's got money."
Terrible.
Though.
Yeah, he bankrolled. He's smiling all day in Boca. So that makes sense. But you're right, Scoop. I'm like, so if Miami went to the SEC, I'd be like, "Good move for you, Miami," and I'll never see a national championship
right.
in my lifetime.
Exactly.
That's what I said. Everyone's like, "Where's your Miami going?" I'm like, "I don't know. Can we get back to the Big East?"
You're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, that's your best chance.
Yeah.
That's your best chance.
That's our only shot.
100%.
I'll take it. I don't care.
You know. So
I'm good with it.
You're just gonna have to recruit, and there's no way. And see, with Miami, there's no, you know, they kept Texas A&M out of the loop to get Texas because Texas is Texas. Florida would be up in arms if they try to add Miami to
the
SEC.
The other thing. It's like, you know, they say Texas is Texas only if you're like in your 50s or 60s. Like
true, like Miami fans.
What the fuck has Texas done since Vince Young?
It's like Miami fans.
And that's 20 years ago. We're the same boat. Right?
We're the same boat, exactly. I mean, that's either a point for Miami or a point against. It depends on what side of the aisle you're sitting on. But I don't know. My thing is I just didn't want to see a thing where Clemson and FSU leaves because that's bad for Miami. Because we lose our rival. There's nothing. Florida State's not going to be. Florida State probably would discontinue our rivalry if they went to the SEC.
Oh, they would, but then we would replace that rivalry with the new ACC team, Central Florida.
Yeah, and then that would be your only option. You have to bring UCF over there. I think you need to bring, for Miami, the best thing that could happen right now is they make Notre Dame a permanent member for the ACC, and they go grab UCF. Because we immediately get a new rival, and the little kids that wanted to sit at the big kid table finally get their chance at the big kid table in a meaningful conference, right? They're going to have to do it the hard way. They can't just claim national championships. And then you have Notre Dame, which we can rekindle that rivalry. So you could have a situation where you're playing Florida State, UCF, and Notre Dame every year. For Miami, oh my goodness, that's so great.
I'm all in on that.
That is so great. Like, that is such a great opportunity in Avenue. And it's that, to me, is in a realm of possibility, much more so than us trying to get some kind of, Ohio State-Michigan merger, because that's never going to happen. But that would be great for the University of Miami.
I will say this. We were talking about NIL stuff over the last whatever. Did you see who – I mentioned that they're a sleeping giant 10 to 15 years from now. Did you see who's cracking the top 10 in recruiting for this cycle?
No, who?
Rutgers?
Rutgers. Freaking Rutgers, baby. Yeah. New York City. Uh-huh. Greg Schiano is selling that NIL hard, and it is working.
I'm sure he is.
The fact that you have those many, you have that many people per populace in that area, and you can't have any kind of competitive team is mind-boggling to me. So hopefully this NIL, because it would be nice to have a Northeast representative. You know, because the Southeastern Conference,
yes,
that's the pinnacle of football. I would love for a New York team to whoop their ass.
The only option in the Northeast that you have is Boston College or Rutgers, so either one of them, go ahead and step up anytime. So...
We keep all the players.
So we'll be back at it next week, boys. Every week.
We'll have our first camp recap. Mm-hmm. First week of camp recap, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And then we'll do recap.
We got boys on the inside.
I know we do. I know.
Well, we always had them, but that quiet. But
and
now
we've also got them committed that at the season's end, in between the regular season and the bowl game, we're going to do a live broadcast somewhere.
Nice.
Like in between that month in between. And
Scoop, we need to do another one of these live shows where you and me like pick up a guitar because we blew a lot of their minds the other day in a private chat. They're like, wait a second, you guys played Sunfest? Mm-hmm. We stay busy.
One of them posted a picture of a drunk Scoop or a buzzed Scoop at like a festival, like Zeta Fest or something, wearing all black with a collar.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that picture.
Like a dog collar. It was good shit.
That's awesome.
Little frosted tips.
Living the dream.
Yeah. Living in the back of a van.
Can't tell me I wasn't.
No, you can't.
And we're still living a dream. We're still living a dream, Poppy.
Congratulations on season 4.
Hey. Thank you. It's good to be back. Hey, can I add something?
Nice to have a break. Better to be back.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome, man. Like, I don't think casual people understand this. There's no script to that. This is our heart. This is our passion. This is Miami Hurricane football. I got two really, really good foxhole buddies that I get to do this podcast with. And that was fun. That was easy. That was easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Totally easy. Let's turn on the mics and let's just go.
I remember the first time
we did this, dude, we had like a 3-page outline.
No more outlines.
No more outlines.
We are just better when it's just go off the hip. I'm less dyslexic without an outline. I'm coming to find out. I'm calling people in the chat the wrong name. I'm so sorry, Ryan. I knew your name. I'm so sorry, buddy. It's a public apology from me. Oh, my God. Out of all people, too. Oh, boy.
All right, boys. Well, then.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to name this episode.
Oh, we still do that.
OBB. We named the OBB episode.
Oh, we named the OBB.
I got it.
Episode one. What are we calling this bad boy?
I got it.
What do you got?
Season 4, episode 1.
Such a dick.
No, come on.
Yeah, no. Let's do it. We'll give them real names. We'll give, but just a troll.
No.
All right. It's easy. You don't know what this is?
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's right over Scoop. I mean, Toast Head.
Buck Fama.
Thank you.
Buck Fama.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We'll do Buck Fama.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, boys. Well, as always, go Canes!
Help!
Yes.
That's another episode in the books. The Orange Bowl Boys are brought to you by Ed Morse Automotive Group. Visit edmorse.com.